Some of you may remember from sermons past my experience preaching on the Good Shepherd in Spanish for the first time, not knowing Spanish probably more than 3 months, 2 months. So I was new at the words and the terms, and I confused words and terms. Instead of oveja, which is sheep, I constantly said throughout the sermon, abeja. Not oveja, but abeja, which means a bee. So the whole congregation most likely had a picture of Jesus, little bees, and the Good Shepherd putting the bee over his shoulder and leaving it, leaving the 99 bees to look for the bee that is lost. Well, okay, so I was getting used to the language and the culture. But there's language and culture in Psalm 23 that kind of evade us, and that's what we're going to look at today. You see, this is our normal view of Psalm 23. Sheep on a hill, gently grazing. Some have big ears, some have little ears. Some have horns, others don't. The shepherd leads from behind, not in front. Notice the rod, and when they can't walk, he lifts them up. But what if I told you that a more accurate picture of what Psalm 23 depicts as the Good Shepherd is probably, in fact, is more like this as the psalm presents it?
They got the car taken off on me.
New footage shows how several law enforcement agencies traced a man later identified by police as Victor Topete across two counties on a weekend pursuit that involved multiple carjackings. 28-year-old Topete was facing manslaughter charges in a Central California man's death when Pittsburgh police encountered him. He escaped that night. The next day, Lafayette police approached a different vehicle reported stolen out of Pittsburgh.
We have a white truck facing eastbound, right eye of the reservoir.
Police said Topete bolted in a white truck, driving westbound in eastbound Highway 24 lanes.
Probably about 60 miles an hour. Still right shoulder.
At Old Dam and Fish Ranch Roads, Topete allegedly crashed into an officer's car before he ditched the truck and hopped a retaining wall.
He's running towards the freeway.
When we think of Psalm 23, we usually think of peace and comfort. It evokes a nice, tranquil, pastoral scene, being carried on our Savior's shoulders. We're humble and we're meek. And when we read the opening verses of this psalm, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," we, along with King David, have trust and faith in the true God to provide us with all that we need. We lack nothing from him. He gives us all that sustains us in life, like food and clothes and house and home, wife, husband, children. All that Heavenly Father would give for his children. He is our shepherd. He guides and he leads. And King David gives some ways in which the Lord is present in his own lifetime. Remember, King David was a shepherd when he was a boy. And even though a king later in life, that shepherding was still in his heart, a shepherd for the Lord. David continues, "He takes me to lush pastures and he leads me to refreshing water." And all of this the Good Shepherd does to restore me. It's not merely a spiritual restoration, as we read, he restores my soul, nefesh is soul, but my soul is who I am. In other words, everything and anything in life that we have comes from the Lord, and he provides all for our good, and he restores me through those things. When our Lord invites us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we show that we rely on him, and we recognize that all that we have comes from him. He delivers to us. By praying this, we recognize and come to him in true faith as our Father or as our Shepherd, acknowledging that he alone can provide these things for us. We don't exist or live independent from him. Indeed, we can't, because we are creatures made by his own hand. Our total position as life, as well as anybody else in this world, is because he is our shepherd. Only we who know him by name as Jesus realize and know him. Well, that's fine so far. These are the opening lines. But what does the police video showing a cop in hot pursuit of a lawbreaker to uphold the law and bring just punishment and incarceration show us about God? The Bible teaches us that God is a righteous and just God in hot pursuit of a creation which has gone hog wild, or we might say has not followed his righteous laws, and they must be brought to justice under that law. As God's concluding remarks to the Ten Commandments tell us, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing those who break my law to the third and fourth generation, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. His shepherding is not exclusively giving us physical provisions to sustain our physical lives in this world. The psalm and David continues, he leads me down paths of righteousness. As you saw in the video of the shepherd doesn't lead in front of the sheep. The sheep knows the shepherd's voice, and there's plenty of YouTube videos, if you're interested, to go on where they've tested this, calling sheep, and the sheep actually know and respond only to the shepherd's voice. Sheep know a shepherd's voice, but they do not follow the shepherd. They are led from behind. In traditional Middle Eastern shepherding, the shepherd actually leads by walking behind the sheep with a rod, such as we saw in the video. So quite literally, the shepherd follows the sheep, or we can say the shepherd pursues the sheep, much like we saw the police pursuing the criminal. The Hebrew for follow is literally pursue. The shepherd does not follow us per se, he pursues us. He pursues us in hot pursuit. And why and how the good shepherd pursues us is because of who he is. The psalm continues and says he leads us down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake means because he is who he is, he can do nothing else. God's name is love and his name is mercy, but his name is also justice and righteousness. He is life and resurrection, but he is also judgment. He is always true to his name. Indeed, he can't be anything else. That's who he is. No matter what he does or how he leads us, this ultimately is his goal, to show love and to show mercy and to show goodness for his sheep, for their salvation. How he tends the sheep is never contrary to goodness and mercy. He will not lead the sheep down paths to destruction or abandonment. He will not lead the sheep down to destruction of anyone in this world. We are his creation, and he seeks to lead and he seeks to guide us, even when it seems to us that he is against us in what we want, or that he's not fulfilling the needs that we think that we have. Again, Christ our Lord, our good shepherd, will not lead us down paths of destruction and abandonment, but sheep do get lost, don't they? When they take their eyes off the path because their nose is stuck to the ground, looking for greener grass on the other side. When they give up congregating with the fellowship of the faithful. When they no longer want the good food which the shepherd provides them. Or think they're better than the other sheep and want to move on in a different direction. Yes, when we want to give up on the goodness of the Lord and try other paths and that bring us pleasure or riches, fame, maybe celebrity, important status. When the sheep want to be their own shepherd and stray from the herd, it's so easy. Sheep are not gifted with good eyesight. They rely on their ears, the voice of their shepherd. They can't follow their shepherd. They rely on the shepherds leading them from behind. Again, because their noses are stuck to the ground looking for greener pastures. They can't see the shepherd in front, so they need a little prodding from behind. The shepherd therefore must pursue them. King David continues, even when I must walk through the darkest valley, the Lord seeks after the sheep. Even when it is lost and has gone down the wrong path, and the shepherd knows it, where there is no light, where there is no vegetation that's going to be good for the sheep, where there is no refreshing streams of water, although the sheep might think so, the shepherd pursues them. He pursues you and he pursues me when we wander into this danger, when we're wrong, and we followed our noses and desired and gone into places of life that hurt us, when we trust ourselves rather than God, when we seek comfort in what gives us pleasure in this world through addictions that causes us to escape into alternate realities, ones that we have created. He pursues us with his rod and his staff. Drifting away from trust in the Lord, being enticed by society to just live our life and not study scripture, not go to worship, not seek him in prayer. These are the dark valleys which ultimately lead to starvation for lack of vegetation, for dryness because there is no water, danger, and death. During these times, we cannot find our way. In suffering and pain and loneliness and emotional instability and stress, illness, or bad personal choices, we most oftentimes blame God for our misfortunes rather than ourselves. We cannot find our way, and worse yet, we don't know we are on the wrong path until we're prodded. We need help. So our shepherd carries a rod and a staff. And David says, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff reassure me of your leading. The shepherd's rod strikes the sheep with judgment. Hey, you're going down the wrong path. There's danger ahead. Don't go that way. The rod was used by the shepherd also to examine the sheep. The sheep would pass under the rod. It would part the wool to find injuries that maybe are not seen just by looking on top of the sheep, to see scratches or lesions in the skin, imperfections that may ultimately affect the sheep's life, infection. God's word, particularly his law, is the rod. It examines us and measures our actions. Scripture is this rod. It reveals to us our sins and our need for our Savior. His word shows us the root cause of our loneliness, our troubles, our wounds in life, and points us back to his path. It seeks to put us on the right path. But many times, when we are confronted with the law and this rod, pardon the expression, we always want to go on the lamb. We want to flee it. We want to run the other direction because we don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to see in the mirror a sinful person. We don't like the pain and suffering to be caused and acknowledge that it's caused by we ourselves. Yet God is just and he's righteous, and his law shows this. God's word is his rod that does not break our bones, though. Rather, its prodding is meant to give us life, much like Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, through his law and his word, hunts us down with his justice. He literally pursues us because he is just and will punish injustice. God's law reminds us, like Isaiah says when he writes, all we like sheep have gone astray. But this is God's purpose through the law, that it convinces us that there is pain and suffering in this world because of sin, because of who we are, because we have strayed from God, and that we need to come before him. This rod smarts and it stings us to bring about repentance and confessing that the darkest valleys in our lives that we enter are not because he leads us there, but because we have chosen a different path and forgotten about our good shepherd. So our Lord pursues us, chases us down through his law. And as Paul says, The law brings God's wrath because it shows our sin, in Romans 4:15. And Paul also says the wages of sin is death. But our Savior, our shepherd, also carries a staff in addition to the rod. And the staff has a little crook on it, a little hook on the end of it. And through that staff, God is in hot pursuit as well to show us his mercy and his love, and his righteousness, his forgiveness. Because whereas we are sheep that wander and need to be pursued and shown that we are, as the hymn says, prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. So also God's word sometimes stings and smarts, judges us in our lives and action, but he uses his staff to comfort us, to bring us back when he puts that ointment on a wound that just might smart and make us want to run away. The correction in our lives he does with love and with mercy. He reassures us of his faithfulness. We are his sheep, after all. This crook fits nicely around the sheep's neck and aids the shepherd, pulling the sheep back on the right path, because by our own reason and our own strength, we need to be put on the path, because our reason and our own strength doesn't put us there. It's only God's mercy. We don't find that in ourselves. We're stupid sheep. He puts us there. He picks us up. He dusts us off and places us on the forgiven road of life, because that is who he is for his name's sake. That's what his name means. His name's sake, our shepherd, wants us to live. So he even enters the valley of death to be true to his name of salvation. And he goes there before us, having gone there before in his life. He can lay down his life. He's willing to do that for the sake of his sheep. And for that reason, when you and I realize that we have wandered off course, that we have strayed from the God that we love in any way, we fear no evil, because he is with us. God is in hot pursuit to show you his love and his mercy so much that he even has prepared a banquet feast. Even while by our very nature we flee from God or we're on the lam to do our own thing, even in the presence of enemies such as loneliness, despair, rejection, illness, suffering, and pain, or temptation, all the evils that there are in the world, even in the presence of death and those who would lead you and me astray, my shepherd, our shepherd, prepares a feast for all to see that I belong to him. He claims ownership of me. You prepare a feast before me in plain sight of my enemies. You refresh my head with oil. My cup is completely full. Although I have fallen from God's law in disobedience to follow only him, despite my self-centeredness, selfish behavior, my lack of love for others, my lack of love for worship and desire for the things that displease God, but bring me all the feelings of pleasure that I desire in this world, in spite of trusting my idols that pretend to give me the identity that I want and crave and think that I deserve, still he provides for me and forgives me. He brings me back to his fold. He went through the valley of death for me, and he risked everything for me. Raising from the dead, he's the perfect shepherd. He still loves me. He forgives me and brings me into his presence, and he wants Satan, and he wants sin, and he wants death to witness that salvation. So he prepares the feast. In fact, Paul reminds us that nothing can separate us from the shepherd's love. Paul says in Romans 8, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor heavenly rulers nor things that are present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, they will not be able to separate us from our God in pursuit with his ultimate goal to save us. His love will not be stopped, or we will not be separated from us when he wants to show us our sin, because it ultimately drives us to our Savior. You know, most often when we read the final verse of this psalm, we think that we are God's sheep, and goodness and mercy will follow in our wake as we walk through life. Most often we read it as, "Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." But remember, God is in pursuit of us. The psalm actually reads like this: "Surely your goodness and faithfulness will pursue me all my lives, all the days, and I will live in the Lord's house for the rest of my life." This is his faithful gospel promise. This is his name's sake. This is the paths of righteousness. It is the only time when this Hebrew word for pursue is actually used together with goodness and faithfulness. Normally in the Old Testament, this word is used to talk about aggression against an enemy, like a police car chase in hot pursuit to destroy. But the promise of this gospel in the psalm is that our Lord's goodness, his namesake, and his faithfulness, made in the covenant of our baptism, his name on us, claiming us as his, will hunt us down wherever we go. We will never be separated from it. His sheep will not be able to escape his goodness and his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his mercy, because they belong to him. He will defend us with his mercy and forgive us against all forgiveness against all threats that lead astray in this world. That is, there is no sin, however bad you think it may be, that can escape God's desire to show love and mercy. There is no sinner, however evil or unwanted you may be or make another person out to be, that can escape God's desire to show them forgiveness. There is no unforgivable sin. God's immediate pursuit through his law is to show you your sin, but his ultimate pursuit and goal in this is to give you his love, his mercy. Psalm 23 does not merely depict us as innocent, frail little sheep cuddled and caressed by a loving Savior. It shows us a shepherd who at all costs pursues us to uphold justice and go to battle for us to show his love and forgiveness, to uncover and expose the wounds of sin, but to take upon himself those wounds and the suffering and pain and experience that rod and judgment of God in order to bring us the staff of life, his mercy and love, binding up our wounds, anointing us with refreshing oil, giving us a banquet. All the things you and I are unable to do and cannot do because of sin, he does for us. Because that is who he is, a God of salvation. We do not know the path. We do not know right from wrong. We need prodding. We need a shepherd who examines our lives, our hearts, and then go to battle for us to bring us the mercy and the goodness that we need all the days. Your good shepherd will always hunt you down to bring you back to him, to forgive your sins, to love you eternally. He will pursue you throughout your life so that for the rest of this life and the next, you live with him in his kingdom. Amen.